line for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Listeners, this is a real treat to interview another leader in the marketplace. There's a lot of leaders in the marketplace, but it's the ones that have the right mindset. And this guy has got that going along with his partner. We're going to hear all about it. We've got as our guest, Jason Abel. He's a speaker, author, business coach at Rewire. It's a coaching company that he helped start in 2013. We're getting a lot in what they do. But Jason's background is he has earned a BA from Loyola University in Maryland, and he has an MBA from Johns Hopkins. So well-educated, accredited, great schools that he goes to. He's also been in the mortgage business. Always helpful when you're coaching people in the mortgage industry that you've been there. You got the been there, done that t-shirt. He does. He's funded personally nearly $1 billion in loans, and he ran a branch of a leading company, funded in excess of $500 million on an annualized basis. He's recognized for both his production and, more importantly, his leadership skills. But a best part of his story is what he does with his wife, Amy. They founded Sadie's Gift in 2007. I always thrilled when I see people giving back. And that's what Jason and his wife, Amy, do. They do it through their nonprofit, has raised over $900,000 for Johns Hopkins Children's Center. And it's good to have a like-minded guy who shares common vision joining us on the microphone today. And joining me is Mark Helm. Mark, thanks for being a part of this interview.
Glad to be here, Dave.
Jason, I'm so excited to share with our listening audience you. Now, you and your partner, Steve, are pretty well known already in the industry. And there's so many things about your story. My favorite part is you and Amy. You have a great marriage, and I'm a family man, and I love what you stand for, yet your core values. You really have values that you and I share together. And so I'm really excited about that. Let our audience get to know you and a little bit about your journey. How did you get to where you're at today? Tell us your story.
Oh, boy. David, there's so many different directions that I could take that, right? Yes. I could tell you about my athletic prowess. That really isn't there. I could tell you that I'm the youngest of 10 children, but that may take us on a tangent that we don't want. But from a professional standpoint, look, I got into the mortgage industry really in my teens when I interned at a local mortgage shop, and I didn't know what to do after college. And so I ended up getting a job as an assistant to some really great loan officers that are still dear friends of mine. And that was in the early 90s. And David, I remember having a rate sheet in my, remember rate sheets? Oh, yeah. I remember having a rate sheet in my hand.
Equated.
And the top VA rate was 10%. So I got in the industry when rates were double digits. And I remember one of the older, better, more experienced loan officers saying to me, "Hey man, if you can make it through this rate environment, like you're going to be okay in this industry." And I remember, man, it was tough, like super tough, but I held on to that. If you can make it now, you'll be okay. And I did. It was hard in the beginning for sure. And then you ask about my story. 7 years into the industry, I was making my way, but I was average, maybe a touch above average, but average. And I saw that all the cool kids had coaches in the industry. And I was not one of the cool kids, but I wanted to be. And so I hired a coach. And I was fortunate enough to get assigned Steve Scanlon, who's pretty well known in the industry, as my coach. And I will tell you, 10 years later, and Steve and I stuck together from a coachee standpoint for 10 years, which is unusual in and of itself. But Steve was able to coach me from going to be an average loan officer to, at the time, at least being one of the best mortgage bankers in the industry. He coached me from working 70, 80 hours a week to down to less than 40 hours a week and doing some of the production that you called out. He also coached me through the birth of three children and the death of one child. And it was a remarkable journey high highs, the lowest of the lows. And he ended up leaving the outfit that he was with to go out on his own. He wasn't sure exactly what that was going to look like. And he and I talked, and man, if you had asked me a month before what I was going to do for the next 20 years, for sure and certain it was going to be to stay in the mortgage industry. But there were some things that happened with our conversations where I was like, man, if you're going to go do that, let's go do it together. Mm. And that was 10 years ago. And we did. We started Rewire. And 10 years later, we're coaching some of the best people in the industry, which we're fortunate enough to be able to do. And we're hearing experiences over and over and over again, like I just relayed to you about my little snippet of my story of being coached. We're able to do that now on a much bigger scale and just fortunate and blessed every day to have the honor to do it.
Yeah, we're in an exciting industry where it can make such a transformative difference in people's lives. I love the name of your business, Rewire. Mm. It really gets to the heart of what you help people do in rewiring their mindset. We're going to get into that in just a minute. Yeah. That's part of the reason you appear on so many podcasts like this one. But there's more to that story. Why do you? Why are you so highly sought after as a speaker and a guest on podcasts?
Yeah, you make it sound so nice, David. I don't highly sought after. I'm going to start having my kids and my wife refer to me that way before they kick me out of the house. I don't know if I'm highly sought after, and I don't know if Rewire is, but I do know
you are.
That we do have the opportunity often to get on a platform, whether it's the privilege of being on stage in front of a group or at a webinar or on a platform like yours, which, by the way, you're sought after. It's an honor to be on your podcast. And I know I'm on your podcast saying that, but I do want to explain that for a minute. I've listened to you for years, brother. And a year ago or so, you probably didn't know me from Adam. I've been learning from you for years now. And I just want to take this opportunity to thank you for that. And to be a guest on your show, when I say it's an honor, I'm not kidding. Like, I pinch myself.
One of the things that I'm really fascinated about your story is you recognize the need for coaching. What's such an interesting common denominator amongst the top professionals in the industry? They all have coaches. Like you said, all the cool kids have it. It's not just cool, but those that are performance oriented, those are hungry to perform at their top. Peak performance seekers is another way to say it. And what is it that drew you to that? And now you're on the other side coaching many people. Many are fortunate to have you as a coach. What is it about coaching that can make the difference? What is it? What did Steve do to you early on?
There's a couple of ways that I'll answer that question. First of all, none of us can do anything that we do in life without other people. And as a professional coach, we just happen to be one of those other people in someone's life. What's a little bit different about a coach is that they really are an unbiased third party. They're not your spouse or your partner. They're not your boss. They're not somebody else around you that may have other biases, other reasons for influencing you. The only purpose of a coach is to help you close the gap from where you are today and where you want to be, or to help you get away from something that you've been wanting to get away from for a long time. And when the only motive is for that person, the coach, to help you with that, that's a sacred place to be.
So good.
And so we all need other people. And so the coach is one of those other people. What I will say about the type of coaching that we do, and you mentioned it earlier about mindset, we are not skill set coaches. We are not mentors for the people that we coach. So somebody wants to come to us and they want to raise their production level, or they want, if they're a leader in the industry, they want to lead a better meeting, have a better feedback loop, for instance, to their direct reports. What Rewire doesn't do is come in and go, oh, you want to make more sales. Okay. And we rip up a prescription and say, do these five things and you'll make more sales. Those are skill set coaches or mentors. And there's a really important place for mentors and skill set coaches.
Absolutely.
But that's not what we do. What we have found is that the greatest impact on somebody becoming the person that it is that they want to become. So not just doing the actions, but becoming somebody that naturally does those actions is really helping them with the way that they're thinking. And what we find with the mindset coaching that we do is the deeper questions that we can ask, really what's under the waterline, so to speak. If we can get to those things and find out the real motivation, the real why behind the reason that they want to close that gap, they want to get to a different place. Now we can go through some very intentional Q&A and inquiry with the coachee, the person being coached, and help them collaborate with them, their plan to get to where they want to go. Because if I write a prescription and I give it to you and I tell you what to do, the data and the science says that you may say you want to do it, but the likelihood of you actually doing those things, the data says it's very low, because our brains don't want to do what somebody else tells us.
There's blocks. A lot of people have blockage, and you hit on a really important part. And that is this: there are things that people want to achieve and desire to achieve, but it takes someone to help identify those blind spots, get the mindset adjusted so they can achieve it. And there's so much you just said in that last response that we could park on forever.
I got to start off with a question, if I can, to Jason. I've done a lot of coaching. Dave's done a lot of coaching, and everybody has their own coaching way of doing things.
Sure.
But one of the things that I want to ask you about, you talked about you're not really a skill set coach as much as you are helping them get to where they want to be and understanding how they can do that. So are you believing that coaching today is as much a personality mindset as anything that you're doing? And it's really understanding, like, organizational psychology, understanding what's in that person's mind, what makes them tick, and how you can best work with the skills and abilities and desires they have to get to the finish line. It sounds like that way based on what you do, because a lot of people do coach the skills. We know that. But doesn't know how to do it or want to do it, it's an issue. So I'd like to get your comments on that first before we go into the other question we had for you.
No, I'm glad you're asking that, Mark. Short answer, absolutely yes. But let me expand on that a little bit. The people that we coach are typically, if you think of the 80-20 rule, we're coaching the 20% of the people. They know what to do. They know the things to say. They're very clear on where it is that they want to go. They might even know the steps to get there. They don't need us to tell them the steps. Heck, you can Google the steps. You can go to ChatGPT now and learn how to run a great meeting or learn the best sales script these days, and it'll spit out some very good things. We're highly paid professionals. You don't need to pay that money for us to tell you those things. But just because those things doesn't mean that you're actually doing them day in and day out that fit your personality profile, that fit your experience level, that fit the people around you that you need to communicate with, their own experience levels and their own personality profiles and their preferred methods of doing things. And so, yes, we go deep with people on purpose that are willing to go deep in order to figure out, okay, in your specific scenario with the specific gap that you're looking to close, let's collaborate with you on the thinking, on the mindset that's going to work for you to close that gap. And Mark, whatever that answer is for you, might be a little bit different for David, might be a little bit different for the person that's listening to us right now. So yeah, mindset is where it's at for sure.
Yeah, yeah. It'll be a subtopic of what you do is mindset. Let me go into what our real question was here. I wanted to ask you, if you could, to talk about defining leadership freedom and leverage for us. Because most of the group we're probably talking about doesn't really relate to that concept. And I thought you'd be a good one to lay that out there for everybody and let them get a feeling of what it's really about.
First of all, leadership. I'm glad you asked about that. A leader is somebody that leads someone else, and that can even be leading yourself. And so we really focus, leadership is a big part of what we do, even if we have a client that isn't on paper, have direct reports. And first of all, we work with leaders and we help them achieve leverage and freedom. And so let me explain that. The leverage that we're talking about, our typical client that comes to us, they might try to be doing a lot of the things themselves, or they might be, so to speak, gripping the steering wheel harder than they need to be. And really, if they're able to figure out exactly what their gifts and talents are and what they enjoy doing and what they're the best at, if we can help them identify those things and get really even more concrete about that and focus in on what their strengths are instead of figuring out what their weaknesses are and making them better, then we can leverage other people to work in their gifted zone around that person. So if they do have direct reports, let's figure out the people that report to them, what are their gifted zone? What is it that they enjoy doing? What is it that helps them become alive in their professional lives and their personal lives? And if we can get everybody working in their lanes, then now that leader can leverage other people. And I don't mean leverage in a bad way, make them do it so I don't have to do it. No, not at all. Let me focus on what I'm best at and those around me. Let's figure out a way to allow them the freedom to work at what they're best at. Now we're all rowing in the direction that we're really good at, happens to be the same direction, and things just get easier. You don't have to grip the steering wheel as hard, and the car just moves along quicker that way. So that's what we mean by leverage. And guess what? When that's happening with you, and when that's happening with the people around you, again, whether that's your spouse, your partner, your children, the people that report to you, the people that you report to, when that's happening, everybody gets to enjoy more freedom, the freedom to do what they like to do, the freedom to do what they're best at professionally, probably freedom to spend less time with maybe professionally the things that they don't like, to be able to spend more time personally with the things that they do. So that's how I would, at least in the confines of this conversation, talk about leadership, freedom, and leverage.
First, a comment about what you said, because it's so true. I don't know if you gentlemen have one of those cars and you're driving along on a long trip, and you know, you're doing that short trip through town, you got your hands on the steering wheel and you got to get from A to B. And then when you're on that long trip, you start thinking about what you want to do next week and things that are really positive change your life. And what you do is you start letting go of the steering wheel is hard. And next thing you do, you get a message on the counter, keep your eyes on the roads and hang on the steering wheel.
That's right.
And it fits with what you just said in a way, because people get that way. But to close this out from my perspective, could you give us from your experience, and you can change the names to protect the innocent or whatever, but an example of a concrete and tangible example of leadership, freedom, and leverage, a work situation that you encountered or something that can help our listeners grasp fully what you're talking about?
Sure, sure, Ken. In fact, I did a discovery call just this morning with a woman that we're going to end up coaching. And it made me think about a specific client a couple of years ago. And I'll give you that the example of that one. So organization comes to us, they're growing, they're thriving, tons and tons of revenue, but also lots of turnover. Also not a very good culture, because maybe they're hard charging a little too much. People are working, everybody's stressed, everybody's overworked, everybody's overwhelmed. And what we did was we ended up coaching the C-suite. And then after about 6 months, they were like, can you coach our mid-level managers as well? And it wasn't long before we were coaching all the leaders in this particular organization. And what we were able to do, again, we're not skill set coaches. So we didn't tell them what to do. And we didn't tell them how to have a good culture or how to draw boundaries with professional and personal and work less hours. And even though I could mentor somebody through time blocking, for instance, we didn't do any of that with them. We went through some real Q&A and figured out what is important to them, why they're even doing what they're doing, did some personality assessments on the key stakeholders in the organization, and really helped them figure out how to best communicate with one another first, based on their personality profiles, based on different strengths that each one of them had. And it wasn't long before they were able to communicate with one another much, much better than they were, because they started to understand each other's personality profiles, different words to use, different cues to use, those types of things. And guess what? That led to less frustration. That led to people working in their gifted zones, which also then led to better culture, because people were coming to work with a smile on their face as opposed to just being frustrated all the time. And they didn't come to us for higher revenue and higher profits, but guess what? All that happened as a result of it. And so when you say tangibility, Mark, I really appreciate that question, because in the coaching industry, hey, if we're talking about thoughts and feelings, that's pretty intangible, right? Like, how do I put my finger on the bottom line of that? I can tell you this particular organization, and this has happened many times over with other individuals and other organizations, where we're working on the intangible things, like I just explained to you, personality profiles, communication, culture, those types of things. When you improve those things, you can't help but improve the bottom line. Sales went up, revenue went up, because they're starting to pay attention to those types of things and working in their zone of genius. Things like expenses that used to be frivolous or not really looked at, or just let's ignore that because we got to move on. Now they started paying attention to that. So we've got higher revenue, we've got less expenses, which, oh yeah, turns into more profit. And that's better for all of the stakeholders. And the woman that I did the discovery call with this morning, the reason that you guys can't see this, but I'm smiling right now, is because her problem that she outlined was exactly the same as this organization that I talked about 2 years ago. And I'm like, oh, this is going to, I don't want to say a cakewalk, but I'm like, you can't even understand how great your life is going to be 6 months from now, a year from now. And I know that it's going to happen because it's happened over and over again.
You talked about when you were working, Steve helped you go from 70, 80 hours a week, which you have a great marriage, you have your kids, you want to pour into them. But this business of mortgage can take over your life if you don't manage it and really get the right coach to help you get that down to what should be. And that good 40-hour week or less is those that are really doing well do that in a shorter amount of time.
That's right.
I want to dive into the difference between skill set and mindset coaching. For someone to understand skill sets and things like that, how do the two get in the way, or how do they work together? I'm trying to figure out how to exactly discern that.
So in answering that question, if you're okay with a few extra minutes of this podcast, what I'd like to do, if with your permission, this is your podcast, permission, I'd like to show you instead of tell you about it. Perfect. Is that okay if we go through an exercise that shows? Okay. And I'll fast track this because sometimes we do this in a workshop format and it takes a few hours. We're going to take a few hours and get it down to a few minutes. And by the way, do I have your permission? Are we good?
Yes.
We good
there? Yes, okay. Please.
So David, in the interest of time, I'm just going to take you right now. So what I'd like you to do is, right now we're seeing each other over Zoom, but those of us, our audience is going to be listening to this. But what I'd like you to do is sit up as straight as you can in your chair right now.
Okay.
And I'd like you, as you're sitting up straight, I'd like you to just take a huge deep breath, and we'll do it together. We'll do it together. We'll just take one huge deep breath in and then out. And now what I'd like you to do, David, is I'd like you to, you can close your eyes if you want to, or just look off into the distance. And what I'd like you to do is think about, we're doing this interview in August. I don't know when it's going to drop, but let's say it's mid-year sometime or in the fall sometime. I'd like you to project yourself to December 31st of this year. I'd like you to think about yourself December 31st of this year. So we're projecting out several months from now. And I'd like you to, you're getting ready for New Year's Eve festivities, whatever that looks like in your household. And you're really thinking to yourself a main thought, which is, boy, I've had a really good year. I've had a really good year professionally. I'm blessed. And I'm even proud of myself. And a smile comes across your face on December 31st. And you're just thinking, I'm just grateful. I'm glad. And what I'm particularly glad about is that I was able to do this one thing that led to this overall feeling of success that I had professionally. I'm really glad that, boy, when I did that podcast with Jason, I came up with this one thing that when I thought about my future self, I was doing it consistently. And that's what led to a really great year, a really successful year. And I want you to think about that thing right now, David, while you're still sitting up straight, you're still breathing deeply, and you're thinking about that thing in future David, in that spot, happy with yourself, pleased with yourself. And there is that one thing that you're thinking about. And so what I'd like you to do right now, you've got that thing. Do you have that thing in your mind's eye?
I do.
And I don't know if you have a pen and paper in front of you, but if you do, I'd love for you to just take a couple seconds and write down whatever that thing is. Okay. And
you're writing in the back.
Yeah. No, that's good. And I saw you writing. Yeah. Now, is it something, and I didn't tell you this in advance, so I want to ask your permission. Is it something that you wrote down? And it's okay to say no right now, by the way. Is it something that you're comfortable sharing with me right now?
Certainly. Yes.
Okay. What is that one thing?
Fulfillment.
And describe that. Thank you. Describe that a little bit to me. Fulfillment. What do you, what Mark said, if you could make that specific and tangible for me right now, what might that look like?
I will feel fulfilled when I am able to make an impact on the lives of others. When I can help people get a new reason to get out of bed, to get doing something and impact someone else's life.
Thank you. And boy, I give you an A+ in courage because you didn't know we were going to go there. And you're giving me all this right now. And I hold that in high regard. If you were to give David just one or two examples of something that you're tangibly doing that leads to that fulfillment, what might that be?
I'll use an example. Mark just had a birthday. And one of the reasons I came to mind as I closed my eyes, as you were asking me to go through this exercise, Mark texted me and says, Dave, the impact you've had on my retirement life, he's been successful. We both have been. We built companies, sold them. He says, you have really reignited a reason to get up. And this podcast and our consulting and what we do together has just reignited him. And if I can do that in Mark, and I can do that through, and I look at Mark, he's one of the top professionals in our industry, tremendous legacy and background and successes. If I can do that with a guy that we both are 73 years old, if I can do that at this age, I get excited about that. A lot of people look at define our lives as already been successful, but how can we do this where we continue to want to make a difference in other people's lives? Because when it becomes about someone else, it really becomes a much bigger achievement.
Well, thank you for that. And even the way that you answered that question, because of the depth, you gave a tangible example and you really had some depth of vocabulary around that. I felt that you mean that, you know what it is, you're clear on it. And I know that it's going to happen just by the way that you explained all that. So let me break down that exercise for a minute. And thank you very much.
By the way, I love doing that. I love the breathing and getting and focusing, but so few people do that, Jason. So break it down for us.
Let me do, and this starts to answer Mark's question. One of you asked it like, okay, skill set, mindset. So let's break down what we just did there because every single piece of it was very intentional. So sitting up straight, we were already telling your brain at that point, hey, brain, we're about to do something here. And I need your focus. So our posture, our physicality was changing. Yep. That was on purpose. We had you take a deep breath. You're getting oxygen into your blood system. We're starting some good, happy chemicals going through your body. That's on purpose. Then we had you think about future you. So many people want to talk about what has been, what's broken, what the challenges are. In coaching, we don't do therapy. We're not going to go into people's childhood and talk about damages or challenges. We're really looking through the windshield. We wanted to look at future David. So we had you think about the future on purpose. And we had you think about good things about future David, right? You're proud of yourself. You're happy. You're feeling good. You saw yourself. I'm going to project this on you. So you tell me if I'm right or not. You saw yourself in a room, in a chair, outside, I don't know, wherever you were December 31st. And those were good feelings because we projected it that way. That was on purpose. Then we had you focus on one particular thing. You chose fulfillment. You got that. You started having that in your mind's eye in a good environment. We project it happy. We project it, you know, you're proud of yourself. So we had that word. Then we had you write it down. That was very on purpose as well. Science says that when you are putting pen to paper, your brain is not focusing on the text or what you have to do later or what's going on tomorrow. It's focused on the end of that pen. So we're further imprinting that idea of fulfillment into your brain. And then you didn't know we were going to do this, but we had you speak it out loud. Again, I really give you A plus in courage because not only did you tell me that, I have the opportunity to hold you accountable to that now. Yes. And all, I don't know, you said you have thousands and thousands of listeners. Like everybody that's listening to us right now can hold you accountable to that. Not in a bad way, not gotcha, did you mess up?
No.
But most likely the people that are listening to your podcast, they're pro David and Mark. They're for you. They're your cheerleaders. So if they were to check in on you on those things, it would be in a positive and pro David pro Mark format. That's only going to help you with those things. So when you ask, hey, what's this thing mindset versus skill set? If you said fulfillment, which would be hard to get on a skill set basis, but if we were to get there and I were to say, oh, you want to be fulfilled? Oh, all you got to do is write a gratitude journal in the morning and make sure you drink a gallon of water every day and make sure you tell your wife you love her once a day. And I gave you a series of things to do. Maybe those things would lead to fulfillment, but maybe they wouldn't. And maybe you don't like me telling you what to say to your wife, right? There's those things. You came up with those things. I asked you some questions that pulled that out of you, but you came up with those things. And again, referring to some of the things that we talked about earlier, when you come up with the thing, the why, and you even gave me tangible, it's the podcast platform. It's your coaching platform. It's the manner in which you're affecting those around you. You gave tangible examples. Now that you came up with those things, you're probably going to do those things, David. And at the end of the year, you will be sitting in the chair or on the deck or wherever you saw yourself looking back at this year going, here I am. It worked. I'm feeling good about things. I'm proud of myself. And so that's the difference between mindset and skill set. And the last thing I'll say, I'll move on, is that's where the meat is. And we see it over and over again. And the people that we coach in the top 20%, they know that's where the game's at. Not a coach or Google or whatever telling you what to do, but drawing out of you rewired thinking in order to have rewired actions to get to the rewired results that you're looking for.
I love how you weave in your name, because that's exactly what you're doing, is you're helping people rewire. Now, there's so much we could go into this, and I get so excited about this message because it does feel like a message. It's something that goes deeper into the soul to really reset something that's off. And I think our thinking, as a man thinketh, so is he in his heart. I think, or right as on. He Or so right. as a man thinking, I think we get locked in. And I think what you're causing people to do by sitting up, taking the deep breath, focusing with your eyes closed, and then going into that moment, it causes people to just start really going, what is really important here? What is the thing that we're really wanting to do? We could go on and on. Mark, I'm enjoying this immensely. Anything you want to add to this, Mark, or any questions before we wrap this up, before we get all the information, how people can reach Jason and Stephen?
Same as you, David. I've enjoyed it immensely because it's certainly, in my mind, the right approach. It's a very good approach. It works. And so much different than a lot of people that do coaching or claim to be coaches and how they approach things. And I think, Jason, you have come up with a really good way to do it that reaps rewards very quickly. And I thank you for the positive effect you're having on the people out there. We need more like you.
Thank you, Mark. I've appreciated this time. And like I say, I'm not kidding. I'm a listener myself. You all have taught me some things, both technical skill set things, but also some mindset things. And I've appreciated all of it. So thank you.
That's a real honor to have you on the podcast. And I want others to reach out to you. Start a dialogue with Jason and Steve, folks. It will make a difference. We both are members of
lenders. One, we should give them a shout out. And we both,
L1.
We go to those companies. L1, we're very grateful for the relationship we have there. And it was actually Tricia Megliazzo who was really singing your praises about some of the things. Tricia is a dear friend of mine. Mm. And my sister from another mister, as we say. And she was saying, oh, you got to get to know these guys, Dave. You guys think so much alike. But it's a compliment in how the two organizations work together. When you fit alongside of each other and come alongside, it's going to be magical for the membership here at Lenders One. How can people learn more? How can they get in touch with you? I love your website, by the way. I think you have the size of your organization. You've got a good number of coaches a part of your group. That's impressive.
We're fortunate. We've got coaches all over the country, and they're the best coaches in the world. I have them coach me from time to time on certain things. And yeah, they're great. How do people reach me? On any of the socials, at Rewire Jason. That's an easy one. Professionally, it's mostly LinkedIn. But I like all the socials. I'm even on TikTok with my kids from time to time, but we do that. But from a business standpoint, if people want to find us at our website, which is rewireinc.com, we have all kinds of free tools on there and our podcast is on there. And if people did want to engage us further, they could, or they could go to the website and make use of all the free tools that are on there.
I love what you do, what you and Amy do. Through Sadie's Foundation, through that gift, Sadie's gift, and what you do at the John Hopkins Children's Center is exemplified by your website, because not only do you do it on a personal basis, but you give away a lot of really rich content on your website. Jason, thank you so much for your time here. I'm looking forward to getting to know you more closely. And you're a brother. I just really a brother in cause and what you want to do and affecting lives. And I appreciate what you have shared with us today. Thank you for affecting my life, even on this short podcast. Thank you.
Thank you, David. Thank you, Mark. It's been an honor to be on your podcast. It's been a pleasure.
Nice to spend time with you, Jason. Take care.
You bet.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.